Welcome back to another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. Tyler, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Tim? We're back for another episode. This episode, we're going to break down some handcuffs, talk about that stuff. It'll be fun. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's the Wire. It's the Wire. D. Griffin. This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in their lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train with a hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. Three tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right, so Tim, weird week in the books, like we said last episode. Can you believe that there was death threats this week?
All right. Listen.
Come on. Are we serious?
As long as everybody else got a little ticked off with Josh Jacobs last year when he said, I don't give a shit about your fantasy team.
That's understandable.
Like, somebody threatened Marquez Valdez-Scantling's life because of that fumble.
Is that really that serious? Like, how much money do you really have that his fumble...
It doesn't matter. If you're betting on another man doing something it's not like they know that you did it.
Right.
Listen, that's your fault. I can be mad, but I'm never going to threaten somebody's life because they fumble the football.
I'm with you. I don't get it. Like, that's internet trolls.
Like, I'm going to kick your ass if you do that is one thing, but you should die because you fumbled.
Yeah. Well, there was another one too. I forget who it was last week. And he literally sent him his address and like, show up if you go, we'll throw hands or something like that. It was something I forget who did it last week.
Tariq Cohen did it in the offseason too.
Was it?
He's like, show up, I'm in Philly.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I was like, whoa. But it's like, are you serious? First off, stop tweeting at these professional athletes asking them for a certain amount of points.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about
you. First off, unless you have a certain amount of followers or a check mark, yeah, they have a filter so that they don't even get a notification that you tweet. You think that they're like you and they get a couple notifications and they check their Twitter? No! These guys don't get it.
You mean they're not reading every message that you send them?
They don't. I do. Because I get a couple a day. Do you think Bobby Trees is worried about if you need 22 points on Monday Night Football?
Probably not.
No! He doesn't give a shit. Yeah, okay, whatever. I'll tweet out, man, I really hope Tom Brady gets, 200 yards and a touchdown, and I hope it goes to Mike Evans, but I'm never going to at Tom Brady be like, hey, throw the ball to Mike Evans.
Only throw to Evans. This is an Evans day.
Like, hey, I'm playing against Godwin this week, and he's going to be sitting there in the pregame huddle with the quarterbacks room, and he's going to be like, all right, so Tim from Massachusetts needed 18 fantasy points out of Mike this week. So on third down, let's run this play.
Yeah.
No! Listen, you look stupid. Stop tweeting it. There's one thing. I'll tweet at somebody where it'll be like, they sign with a team. Hey, congratulations on your payday. Like I have another Twitter account. I'm a big Celtics fan where I cover the Celtics on that account. And I tweeted at one of the players who signed with another franchise. And I said, good luck, stay healthy. That's one thing. But telling them, with your fucking nonsense? Nobody gives a shit about your fantasy team?
Right. It's literally fantasy. That should say everything you need right there.
God. Stop adding these guys. Don't at them.
It's pathetic.
You look stupid. But in more controversial news than death threats, I'm going to make the case.
Okay.
That if Ryan Fitzpatrick completed that touchdown to Devontae Parker, people would be calling for Fitz to be starting the rest of the season in Miami. They have a legitimate playoff shot, right?
For sure.
He's been productive all year. He didn't get benched at all for production. It was the future of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Tua hasn't done anything spectacular. Neither has Fitz. But
at least you know the upside with Fitz.
But if they took him out because Tua wasn't playing well, and then if Fitz comes down and gets a game-winning drive, yep, would we be sitting here right now saying, is Tua the guy? Or should they start? Fitz isn't the long-term solution, obviously. But is Fitz the guy that's going to get them to the playoffs this year?
My thing with that is I get your point. I don't think Tua is the guy that's going to get them to the playoffs this year.
No, they're probably going to get there, but it would be a lot more of a conversation if he completed that touchdown.
You're probably right, but it wouldn't be the right thing to do. Do you agree with that?
If you're trying to win the division and get a playoff game and get maybe a home playoff game.
Well, what does that do for you? There's no chance that they're going to win this division.
They're a half game behind Buffalo.
And do you think that they're really on the same level as Buffalo?
Right now, their defense has been 10 times better than Buffalo's. And their offense has been doing just enough. Yeah,
I would take Buffalo. I know. If I had to pick, fantasy-wise,
Buffalo, all their plays have been the sexy picks this year.
As an NFL team, if you had to pick the game right now, who would you take to win?
I would go Buffalo because I think they're a better team.
Exactly.
But
so I don't see
would
them.
You be at all scared if the two of them play their next game and Miami beat them?
Would I be scared?
Would you not be scared? Would you be surprised?
Yeah, I would be surprised. I think that Buffalo is, I shouldn't say a legitimate contender in the AFC, but I think they're in the final four of the AFC. Is that fair?
Who's that? Buffalo?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're the three or four seed right now, yeah. It doesn't matter who wins a division because it's either going to be Pittsburgh, Kansas City, or Baltimore. But I represent the
Baltimore
AFC.
Is not even in the playoff picture right now.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
They're the number one wild card seed. Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
They're 6-4.
Yep.
There's a logjam of everybody 6-4.
Tennessee.
7-3. And then everybody else is 6-4. Miami 6-4. They're in the playoffs. Colts are 7-3. They're winning their division.
7-3, winning the division.
Tennessee. Las Vegas is 6-4 now because they lost to the Chiefs.
Yep.
But let's, regardless.
Yeah, we're getting off topic there. But yeah, I don't know. I get that there probably would be a calling for it because Miami fans haven't had a winning season in forever now. So they want to see it. But the right decision would be to keep riding out Tua, let him get some experience, see what he can do. Yeah, he struggled, but he's still a rookie.
They benched him because he sucked that game.
No, absolutely.
And he hasn't done anything very well.
I mean,
he hasn't done anything bad, but
right.
He hasn't been Justin Herbert. He hasn't been Joe Burrow.
But at the same time, they haven't needed him to be either till this game.
That's fair.
So that's a little bit because he did have solid numbers.
Yeah, this was the first real test for him.
Right. This was the first game that I think they underestimated Denver coming into this game. I think that they thought they were hot shit coming in, and Denver put up a lot more of a fight than anybody was expecting. So that, I think, has a factor into it too. But I think that it would have been the wrong move for them to not go back to if they would have made Fitz the starter again, I think it would have been a mistake long term, and then would have just fucking moved on from Tua at that point. Because if you're benching him already and you're going away from him already, that tells me that you have no faith in him and you don't think he's the guy.
But they already did bench him.
They benched him because it was a winnable game and he was struggling. He's still a rookie. That's normally we don't see these guys come out like this in their rookie year like we're seeing with Herbert and Burrow.
And by the way, the last time Buffalo and Miami played, Buffalo only won by 3.
Okay.
They haven't been that good. They beat the Jets. They barely beat Miami. They won on a game-winning field goal against the Rams. They got destroyed by Tennessee. They lost to the Chiefs. They barely beat the Jets again. They should have lost to New England. And then they beat Seattle.
I mean, if you're going down that route, you can say that about Pittsburgh, too. There's games that they should have.
You know what I mean? They're one of the most fraudulent 10-0 teams I've ever seen. They've had such an easy schedule. They've played
Right, but it's... But
they beat the NFC East so far. I don't want to, you know, four of their 10 wins have been the NFC East.
I'm not arguing with you, but regardless, they are... everybody's going to have some soft wins. Everybody's going to struggle with some games. Absolutely. It's this trap game. We know how all that goes. It's the NFL season.
But I'm just, they won by three. It was 31-28. I'm just saying, if Fitz completed that touchdown, there's a lot different conversations happening. Right now, it's, Tua's our guy.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think that if they put any real attention to it, it would have been a mistake.
But was it a mistake to just put Fitz in? Because if he completes the touchdown, if he completes the touchdown, they win the game. They put him in because it was a winnable game, and they thought Fitz was the better quarterback to win that game.
For sure.
So does that mean Fitz is better to win every single game the rest of this season?
No, I don't think so.
What's the difference between this week and any other week?
That he struggled this week, but this is the first time we've seen him really struggle.
I mean, Denver has been better than people are saying.
In four games that we've seen him play, he struggled in one as a rookie. I'll take that.
Well, the first week he literally...
They didn't need him to do anything.
He was Jimmy Garoppolo and just handed the ball off.
Right.
But
I mean, we've seen him have a solid game.
Yeah.
And we've seen him have a bad game. So
and then he had one in-between game and one game where he wasn't even needed on the field.
Right. So I think it's too early to say that he's...
But it's concerning that they benched him because...
Right, he's a rookie. They were scared. He's a rookie.
How many rookie franchise quarterbacks have been benched in the middle of a game because the other guy just they thought was the better chance to win the game? I mean,
how many of these rookie franchise quarterbacks had a guy like that behind them though?
A veteran, 38-year-old undrafted rookie free agent who kept getting benched for Jameis Winston.
In last episode, we were talking about all the potential that Jameis Winston had. So
no, absolutely. But remember, they flip-flopped. They both got benched like three times that season.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. But what I'm saying is that we've seen what Fitzmagic can be. We've seen that he can be very productive and he can win a lot of games for you. But at the same time, we don't know what Tua is yet. We haven't really had a chance to see him. And rookies don't traditionally pop like we're seeing with this class. Especially at quarterback with no offseason and all that blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, what Herbert and Burrow were doing.
Is unreal. Unheard of.
Was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So we wanted to talk about handcuffs this episode.
For sure.
This is the time of year where most of your bye weeks are done. And especially with the way this season's gone.
It only makes sense to hold on to the guys that if your starters and your studs get hurt, you don't have to go hunting and trying to get these guys.
So, if you had Joe Mixon, and he got hurt, put on IR. If you had Giovanni Bernard,
you at least felt good about it.
You slide the Cincinnati running back in for the Cincinnati running back for that week.
Right.
The next week, and you filled that gap.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't have any depth at running back, which a lot of people don't right now, if you have Josh Jacobs, pick up Devontae Booker.
And he's looked phenomenal, too, in this carries that he's had.
Put him on your bench, because if something happens to Jacobs, you have Devontae Booker to slide into your lineup next week.
Right.
If he misses a week with turf toe or sprained ankle. Whatever
it could be. We've seen plenty of these guys get banged up.
And he just got banged up this week with a shoulder injury.
Right.
Again, from last year. So, if you have Jacobs, pick up Booker. If you have, if you had Mixon, you should have picked up Gio.
Right.
If you have Todd Gurley, pick up Brian Hill.
Right. And when we've seen the ultimate case of it this year with Chubb going down and how productive Hunt was too. So that's the perfect example of what could possibly happen.
Yeah. So there's three different levels to a handcuff, right?
There's
the one where they're a flex play, a guy like a Tariq Cohen.
Right.
Went like last year with his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Good production. He was a starting flex play, RB3 type of guy.
Yeah. And then Kareem Hunt, he has a role on that offense every single week where he's getting 10, 15 touches. He's a running back.
For sure.
But a guy like Tony Pollard, if you have Ezekiel Elliott.
You should own 100% because we've seen how productive he has. He went 5 carries for 60 yards this week and a touchdown.
Yeah. But again, let's just take their stats aside for a second. if Zeke misses a week,
mm-hmm.
Tony Pollard is the starting running back in Dallas.
Sure.
And now you just swap that out because right now you're probably carrying somebody like AJ Green on your bench. If you have three or four wideouts ahead of him, do you really need him?
No.
Do you really need that second tight end right now behind Travis Kelce?
No, absolutely not.
Do you really
not.
Need that second defense or second kicker? Or if you have Patrick Mahomes, do you really need Carson Wentz on your bench?
Nope.
No. Get rid of Wentz. Secure your... Because there's other quarterbacks other than Wentz. It's not like Wentz is a barn burner that you need to hold on to.
Right.
If you cut Wentz and pick up, you know, Tony Pollard, if you have Zeke.
Right. Or a guy like Ballage the last couple of weeks.
Right. But again, he's different right now because right now he's the starting running back.
Right. But we would have made this move a week ago.
Right. So, you know, there's the first set of guys where it's Kareem Hunt and Jalen Ballage, Giovanni Mike
Davis,
Bernard.
We've seen him be super productive Mike this
Davis.
Year.
Mike Davis is a perfect point. If you drafted
CMC
in the first round,
mm-hmm.
CMC went down, CMC came back, and some people just cut Mike Davis.
Now you're scrambling to get Mike Davis back. And
but if you have Christian McCaffrey, you have to leverage yourself and handcuff yourself right. to another player.
You've got so much investment in him that you're not going to get a guy that's going to replace him, so you might as well try to get the guy that's going to at least potentially step into his role.
Exactly. And, you know, is Kalen Ballage, there's these guys where they're productive every single week.
Right.
And then there's the next tier where... They have a little bit of like a Tony Pollard or
where they're getting a solid change of pace roles. With, like you're saying, Tony Pollard, McKissick, Bell's getting a decent amount of touches, Fournette, Edmonds. These guys are all very useful flex plays guys that you can slot in. But they are your handcuffs. Like again, we saw Kenyon Drake go down earlier in the year and Edmonds stepped in and he was the RB1 there. And he was very productive. He went and had solid days when he got all the touches. So these guys are still talented guys that you can plug in and you can get production from. But you got to have them. You just can't go these weeks without having them at this point. That a lot of these guys aren't worth carrying on. Like Tim said, we mentioned it last week. Tim Patrick's one of those fringe guys that, yeah, he's productive, but you can find his production or probably have his production elsewhere on your bench.
Right. So, like, there's a league that I'm in where his two starting running backs are James Conner and Derrick Henry.
Sure.
They're going to start for him every single week as long as they're healthy. Okay?
Without a doubt.
He also has Chase Edmonds. But at the end of his bench, he's holding on to David Moore. This is a deeper league. David Moore, Josh Reynolds. And then the guy he's playing against has Travis Kelce and Gerald Everett. Do you really need to hold on to Gerald Everett? Or are you going to cover your Miles Sanders spot and pick up Boston Scott?
Right. And we've seen Sanders been banged up and Scott's been productive. Again.
So if Sanders misses another week, now instead of having Miles Sanders or Boston Scott, he's scrambling on the waiver wire because he doesn't have a third guy to slide in because Antonio Gibson's on his flex and his next best flex play is Michael Gallup. So he should be picking up, you know, McKissick's probably gone, but he should be picking up Boston Scott and holding him on his roster because this is going to cover you in the playoffs. You know, bye weeks are over. You don't need the depth anymore. You need to make sure you have your starting running back spot filled in.
Right. I mean, there are still a couple weeks of bye weeks going on. They go out all the way to 13. But it's one of those things that if you can afford not to carry these guys, you have other solid pieces, cut the back end of your roster. Get these guys and insure yourself. Well, like, it doesn't make sense not to. And there are these guys that, I mean, without somebody having an injury, these guys are useless. Like, and I get that. You're not getting production out of this, but they're on your bench. They're not doing anything for you anyway.
You don't need to hold on to
whoever.
David Moore or a second kicker. This guy has Harrison Bucker and Mason Crosby.
Right.
Why do you need two kickers? Pick up your handcuff running back.
Right. For me, our home league, I carry three. I'm carrying three running backs right now, and they all aren't great running backs, but I'm carrying Gordon and Lindsay, so I have my handcuff. Gurley and Hill. And then I have Mostert and I have
McKinnon.
And it's like, I'm not going to play anybody else besides these guys. So there's no reason for me to be carrying anybody else.
Yeah. You don't, you should, you know.
And even with the three, you probably don't need to carry a hangup for all three. If you have two guys that you're confident in, none of those guys are sexy players, but it's like, it's the preface to that you're covering your ass. You're making sure that you're never in a position where you don't have a player.
Yeah. So let's go over some of these names.
Okay.
Because some of the people aren't going to know who the correct handcuffs are.
Okay.
You know, we started, you know, Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley has shown over the course of the last couple of seasons that he tends to break down this time of season.
For sure.
Granted, he's not getting 20 touches a game like he was before on the Rams. But if you have Todd Gurley, you should have Brian Hill in case something happens.
Right.
If he catches COVID.
Anything can happen.
If he has turf toe, if he has
he's got a bad knee. I don't care
what it is. If he misses a week.
Brian Hill slots in and he's going to get 20 touches a game.
Right. You know, we already talked on Giovanni Bernard and.
Yeah. And Mixon.
You know, right now, you're not picking up Samaje Perine in case Gio goes down.
No.
But because the third handcuff, now you're getting.
That's probably where you draw the line. Right. And that point, you're better off picking up somebody else's handcuff.
Exactly. But, you know, Gio is a perfect example as why you should do this, because now you covered your Mixon share.
Exactly.
Tony Pollard, we talked about with right. Zeke. Zeke. If Zeke goes down, you have Pollard.
Right. Other guys, like you said, with Jacobs, you got Booker there too.
Yep.
That's him. Again, we've said how productive he's been. The big one that everyone was all excited about, Dalvin Cook. You've got Alexander Mattison there too. And we've seen him come in and be productive in spots too.
Right. The most important one to add is if the starting running back goes down, Alvin Kamara misses a week.
Right.
Latavius Murray is a top three fantasy option that week.
Without a doubt.
With Drew Brees or Taysom Hill.
It doesn't matter
because he's still catching the ball out of the backfield. He's a fantastic runner. He's a starting NFL running back on most teams.
Right.
He's just a luxury that they have there. But if you have Kamara and Latavius Murray is there, pick him up, please. He may save you a season. He may save you a week. Mike Davis with CMC, we covered that one already.
Yep.
Kalen Ballage, McKissick. If you have Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams is there, Aaron Jones has shown that he's a little banged up this year. If he misses a week, and the Packers are a very, very, they're very passive on these things. If somebody's not 100%, they're not going to play.
Oh, yes. They're very conservative with their injuries. I was trying to figure out where you were going with that one.
I couldn't figure out the word conservative.
They always lean on the side of caution with these players when they get injured. We've seen that with Jones already this year, is that he was coming out saying that he was healthy to go, good to go.
That was Davante Adams.
No, Jones came out and said it too.
Oh, was it? Because Adams tweeted, I'm healthy, but they're holding me out.
Yeah, so there you go again with Adams. So we've seen it both with the two of them at this point, and they both could have played. They both said they could have played, and they didn't let him go. Now you're in a spot. We saw Jamal was super productive when he was out.
Yep.
You got to have him. You just got to have him. You can't reiterate that enough.
Yeah. I know it. A lot of people are saying don't even bother rostering Le'Veon Bell, but if you're a CEH owner, if you're a Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner, owning Le'Veon is important to you.
Without a doubt.
Because he's probably cut right now. And if CEH misses a game, Le'Veon Bell's a starting running back.
Le'Veon Bell's not only a starting running back, Le'Veon Bell is an RB1.
I don't know how healthy he is. I don't know if he's the same player anymore. I get what you're saying. He's a strong play. I wouldn't put him as a top five running back.
I would, but that's fine. The difference of opinion there, that's fine.
We talked about Scott.
We've seen him be productive also. Snell, we've seen him come in and be productive when Connor was out.
In the four games Connor's missed in the last 2 years, Scott's had over 20 touches in every single one of them. Benny Snell has had over 20 touches and he's gone over or about 100 yards in every single one of them.
For sure.
So if you have...
And again, these are guys that you can... They're not as talented as the starters. We all get that. They're not going to be the same. But these guys are going to get the volume that these starters were getting. And again, when we're dealing with...
Because the offense doesn't want to miss a beat because they're missing a player.
Right.
So we're hoping that this guy slides right into that role. Right. And even if you have, you know, let's use Alvin Kamara. Right now he's the number two running back in football. You're not going to get the number two running back football numbers out of Latavius Murray, but you're going to get top 10, top 15 numbers out of him. Rather than who's on your bench right now, right?
Who's kind of garbage?
If you have Alvin Kamara and Todd Gurley's on your bench,
right?
If Alvin Kamara misses a game, Latavius Murray's going to outscore Todd Gurley
100%. And here's the thing too, is that you got to think about we're in what going into week 11, week 12, week going 12. Into week 12.
Yep.
How many people are really making waiver moves right now? Because the top teams probably aren't making any.
None.
So that means
the bottom teams are probably just over it at this point. If they're 2-8, 2-9, they're not really still trying to form their roster. They're just pretty much setting their lineup every week.
Right. But my point with this is that these top teams probably have the top waiver claims at this point because they haven't been churning their roster over.
Right.
So when one of these big names go down, they're going to have the first crack at these guys.
Yep.
Odds are that you're not.
Yeah. So if you don't own Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott misses a game, you do not have running back to start right. that week. You're hoping one of your bench guys can get the same amount of touches and fantasy points as somebody else. Just to round out a couple of the other guys, Leonard Fournette is an iffy roster spot right now because Ronald Jones has been so productive.
But if Ronald Jones went down,
Leonard Fournette's the clear number one back there.
For sure.
I think McNichols is the backup in Tennessee. If Derrick Henry was to miss some time, I think McNichols, who's had the most snap percentage out of anybody out of that backfield outside of Henry, I think he's the guy. That one's a little weird because he plays every single play.
Right. So we haven't seen an example of what he could be. I mean, like Tim's saying, going by snap percentages, yeah, he looks like he could be the second guy. I don't know how his skill set really plays in with this, so he's one of those that you kind of take a dart throw on and hope you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Tim's right. It does seem like he's probably the next guy.
Yeah. And then talk about Brian Hill with Gurley. The Colts offense...
At this point, I feel like they all should be owned because at any week, one of them could go off.
Nope. I'm not, unless Jonathan Taylor misses a week, Jordan Wilkins still is a questionable play. Because it's going to be all Hines, you know, but if Hines misses a week, is Jordan Wilkins still going to, both of them would need to be out for me to start Jordan Wilkins with any confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would feel better about starting Hines.
Because
he's going to get the passing work at that point. But I mean, again, we've seen him Wilkins come in and be productive when Taylor wasn't playing well. So it's one of those things that I don't think we're ever going to see one guy come out by himself. I think that they're always all going to be involved.
Which is better for the franchise, but worse for our fantasy teams.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because you're not just running Jonathan Taylor into the ground like most other teams.
It's again, it sucks like you're saying, but it is one of those things that you got to pay attention to him. I think that if you do own Taylor and you can't afford to cup and carry the two of them, I would, because at any moment they could be, one of them could come forward.
Oh yeah. But the thing is, Hines is a weekly fantasy play because of his PPR value.
Right.
But Wilkins is not in a redraft league. I'm not owning Jordan Wilkins. But it is an important thing. It's something important to do, especially in redraft. Dynasty, probably not. In a deeper league, if your handcuff is out there, yeah. But if you have one of those shorter dynasty leagues like we have where you know, not everybody, you know, there's still some handcuffs out there. If you have the ability to do it and you have one of those old, if you have AP on your roster, you want to pick up Brian Hill, go for it. If you have Gurley or something like that, but.
I mean, even you say that, but even in our league with the shorter benches, pretty much all the handcuffs are gone.
Yeah, because a lot of the players in our league, if they had Zeke, they picked up Pollard. You know, they drafted Pollard, you know, but.
I think the people coming in and they're pretty, especially in Dynasty, I think they're prepared. And then you see these guys get drafted, so you're drafting them, so you in case to hedge your bet with these guys and things like that. So
but redraft, typically you don't have as much attachment to the player, so you don't attach the position as much. So, you know, it's more, a lot less stress is put on it. But yeah, as far as that's concerned, definitely go for it. Get grab your handcuffs.
But like Tim's saying, it's important to have these guys. It could save you down the line, fantasy playoffs, somebody gets hurt. And these things happen. We've seen it time and time again this year. It's just been a nightmare. So trend on the side of caution. That's the best thing I could tell you at this point.
Hedge your bets.
Hedge your bets. There's no better way to say that.
Yep. So that's it for this week on the handcuffs. And our thoughts on death threats and fantasy football lineups.
Oh, man.
That's all I got for this week.
That's it for me, guys. Thanks.
Thanks.